Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, we're so glad y'all are here today. The Wednesday service that we call the wise and the wonderful, the good looking and attractive. Yeah. Favored, blessed, anointed. It's who we are. That's right. God bless you. Well, hey, we have a special guest today. His name is Reverend Jonas Bolin. I just call him Jonas. He's the pastor of Fullness Church, located over there in Lake Country, right down there by the lake. I've been there a few times. So that's where he pastors, and he's also in our fellowship with Doug and myself and other pastors that we get together every week. And I know him pretty well. He's also involved in this food distribution that we have the third Saturday. Anybody wants to ever come to that, help us out. Bunch of churches, about six or seven, get involved with that in one bank. it's a lot of good. Do a lot of good, give away a lot of food. But anyway, Jonas also preaches. So I asked him to come and preach to us today. To us, not at us. How about that? So come on up here, Jonas. God bless you for coming. I appreciate on a short notice that you said yes, so he's ready to go. He's not checking his email or his messages. That's his notes right there.
Yes.
There you
go. That's my notes.
Uh-huh.
I have moved into the new generation of technology, you know, so I've moved to my tablet. My wife told me, my wife is my manager. Guys, you understand that, don't you? And my wife told me that it would be nice to get rid of the podium and preach from my tablet. So that's what I'm doing. But what I want to just say thank you for having me today. I just want to tell you what a joy it is to be here. It's interesting that you invited me, Steve, because we've been doing a senior ministry at our church for several years, and we just decided to discontinue that. So the lady that was doing our senior citizens ministry would do a lunch for them once a month, and she's now our children's minister, and so we didn't have anybody to take up that mantle of the senior ministry, and so that was the reason, not because we don't care. You know, I are one. That's the best way to say it. You know, I mean, I qualify to be sitting out there with you, I thought about that. I'm going to tell Wanda, and maybe some of them will join y'all's group, and that'd be great. Like I said, I are one, and one of the hardest things for me to get over was the time that I went to a restaurant and I got the senior citizens discount without asking for it. You know, that just broke my heart. And I told the girl, I said, you've really offended me by giving me the senior citizens discount. So, and Steve was telling me about the time he went in to get the senior citizen discount, and they made him prove how old he was. So, you know, that's different. I want to talk with you something for a few minutes. I want to just share with you, and I want to encourage you, because you are a hero. You're a hero because you have walked a path, and you continue to walk a path that is worthy of others to follow. I want to tell you that, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what I call the path to fullness. And in Psalm 16:11, the scripture says, "You will make known to me the path of life." Well, you wouldn't have gotten to where you are today. And I'm not saying there weren't some rocky roads along the way or some rocky times. But you wouldn't have gotten where you are today if God had not made known to you the path that you're to follow. Now, you may not have always followed the path that led to the Lord. You may have been in the world. You may have done... I don't want to know all the things that you've done. I don't want to know all the things that the members of my church have done. Don't tell me. That I don't need to know, because I know that once you decided to walk the path of to Jesus, those sins are gone, and the ways that we used to live are gone. They're over, because I used to live there. I lived in the world. Now, I was old. I gave my life to Jesus when I was six, I thought. And 25 years later, the Lord whispered in my ear, and he said, "You know you don't know me. You only know about me. So would you give your life to me today?" And I said, "Well, heck yeah, I will. Because I don't want to keep anything from you, God." And at that point in my life, I was teaching and coaching. I was a teacher and a coach for 34 years, and until God called me into the pastorate. And I taught math for a long time. And so my life at that point, when I gave my life to Jesus, changed. I walked into work two or three days after I gave my life to the Lord, and my athletic director said, "Your job description has changed." I'd been the girls' track coach for 6 years. I'd never lost a district track championship. He walked in. He said, "You're not going to be the head girls' track coach anymore." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, I'm giving your job to somebody else." I said, "Well, what are you going to do with me?" He said, "You're going to be the new tennis coach." Well, I never played competitive tennis in my life. And so I just told him, I said, my resignation will be on your desk in the morning. And so I left and signed a contract 2 days later with a school 30 minutes from there as a defensive coordinator in football and a boys track coach. And that, though, is the place we lived when my wife and I first got in contact with what the Holy Spirit could do in our lives. And when we got in contact with what the Holy Spirit could do in our lives, the rest is history. Now, I continued to teach and coach for several years after that, but I was doing it as a minister of God in the teaching profession. And so I want to thank you for what you represent, and that is a minister of God wherever you are, whatever you do, and the path that you have walked along in your lives. Now, the second part of Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence is fullness of joy." Now, I want you to understand that joy is okay. Happiness is okay. Laughter is okay. I walked down there a while ago, and I thought, you know, y'all are just having too much fun, and we say that to people. But, you know, when you know the Lord, and when the joy of the Lord, and when you know the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills you and gives you that inner peace and joy, there's a lot of times that there's just laughter. There's nothing wrong with just plain old laughter. When I was I have three children, all of them live in this area, and nine grandchildren. And when my kids were little, if we were having a bad day, I would walk into the room and I said, "Okay, right now, we're going to just laugh as hard as you can for 30 seconds. And, you know, when you laugh, it changes things. It changes the way you feel about things. It changes the way you look at things. So joy is a good thing. And then what I want to really focus on today is, in your right hand, there are pleasures forever. In your right hand. Now, who is that "your" that we're talking about? Well, that's God. God has pleasures in his right hand. And at the age where we are, we've experienced a lot of those pleasures. Now, I'm sure that we've experienced a lot of the hard times too, but I'm telling you what, the pleasures went out. And I want to share with you just out of Luke chapter 12, verses 22 and 32, because I want you to see what Jesus is talking about here in the pleasures that he's promised for us. And he said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will wear. For the life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap." You sang that song just a while ago. "And they have no storeroom or barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which one of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your lifespan? Sorry, you can't add any time on your life by worrying. Actually, you are going to take life time off of your life if you worry. If then you cannot do even a very little thing about it, then why do you worry about it? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you that even Solomon in his glory, not even Solomon in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you? You men of little faith, you do not seek and do not seek what you will eat or what you drink, and don't keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Now, I want to just share with you that the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Sometimes we don't believe that. The Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Now, that kingdom, that word for kingdom, means rule. It means sovereignty. It means royal power. God has chosen to give you royal power. You have royal power. You know, my wife loves to watch documentaries, and we were watching something about Victoria and the powerful queen that she was in England. And you know, God is the one who gives that authority. And he has given us all that authority. Now, I want to encourage you. I told you a while ago that joy, God gives joy. There is joy unspeakable. The peace that passes all understanding. Joy. It's ours. It's ours if we want to receive it. Now, I missed out. I forgot something I want to share. The kingdom of God. The kingdom, when it says the Father has chosen to give you the kingdom, where is the kingdom? Now, we in our minds, sometimes we believe, or we think, or we get honed in on the thought that heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is what we get when we pass away. You know, and we mourn the passing of Barbara Bush. What a wonderful woman she was in our country. And we prayed last night for her family and for her and all of her sons and her husband, and she didn't. Do you know that she didn't have to pass? We don't have to pass from earth to heaven to our new life to experience the kingdom of God. God tells us in his word that the kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven. And why not? Why can't we experience? Now, what do you imagine heaven is going to be like? My mother passed away in 1989. She had pancreatic cancer. She was in. She went to the doctor on October the 5th, and the doctor told her he saw a little spot on her pancreas. He wasn't worried about it. Well, I went home that night and I was praying about it. And it's going to sound crazy. The Lord said, I'm taking her home. I said, well, Lord, that's not the answer I wanted. And the Lord said, well, you didn't really get a vote. and I said, okay. But then God in his goodness did this. God began to show me vision after vision and scripture after scripture of my mom and my dad together in heaven, holding hands, skipping down a golden street. Well, who am I to want my mother to stay here when she can go and have that in heaven? My dad died in 1962, so my mom was a widow for 27 years, raised four kids, had a bunch of grandkids, and I want you to understand that We don't have to wait to go to heaven to enjoy all of what God says that is ours. We can have it here. We can have it all here. It's what he says. Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And if I don't understand anything, your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, that means that it's the same here and there. So, don't worry. Don't worry about what's going on here. Be happy. Let's have some happiness. You know, if you listen to the news for very long, it doesn't take as long to get unhappy, does it? The news stinks. I don't care if it's conservative Fox News or CNN liberal news. It doesn't matter. The news stinks. It's bad news. Why? Because that's what people want to hear. Well, why can't we as Christians begin to say, I don't want to hear that negative stuff. That's not part of my life. My life says, my Bible says that I can have the kingdom of heaven on earth. I mean, I can have the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Why do I have to put up with that garbage that comes into my ears and into my eyes? And I don't need that because I know I get to live in the kingdom of God. So, faith in Jesus. Faith. Now let me point something out to you here. God told us that we are not, in that first passage I read, he said, don't worry. Worry is the opposite of faith. If you have faith in what God is doing, then you're not going to worry. Now, that doesn't mean you're not concerned and you don't take care of your business, because it's important to take care of your business. But it's different to take care of your business and worry about it. And what God wants us to understand is that faith is the opposite of worry. And worry, if you worry, you're not walking in faith. So he is encouraging his disciples to learn to walk in faith. In other words, don't worry. He's teaching his disciples how to walk in faith. You walk in faith by not worrying. Now, my mother-in-law, who she and her husband started the church that I pastor, she still teaches and does a lot. She's 82, fixing to be 83 years old, and she still works hard in the church. She still serves as an active elder. She goes and launches her boat once a week with her Mustang convertible and goes fishing once a week out on Eagle Mountain Lake by herself. Carries a gun, so if anybody comes around and messes with her, she said, I'm not interested in shooting anybody, but I want them to know that I got a gun. So, you know, she's going to take care of herself. But she has this saying, and that is, maybe you can't believe God. Maybe your faith is not where you can believe and embrace all that God wants you to embrace. But can you just not entertain unbelief or worry? Because if you don't entertain unbelief and worry, if you don't entertain it, then that's going to lead you to faith. Because God is going to act on your decision to not entertain unbelief. And when he acts on that decision that you've made to not entertain unbelief, that he's gonna flood you with faith. Do you know we're all given a measure of faith? The Bible says that. To each is given a measure of faith, the measure of faith. So you can say, well, so-and-so can have faith for me, because they've got faith. No, my Bible says that we were all given the measure of faith. It's just how we exercise it and use it. So, he's encouraging his disciples not to worry, not to fear. He encourages them in several areas not to worry and fear. What they wear, what they're going to eat, where they're going to sleep. He just tells them not to worry. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Consider the ravens, the lilies, the grass. Don't worry about the length of your life. Worry doesn't add to your life. It actually subtracts from your life. Now, let me tell you something. The difference in us in this room and those out there, the world tries to fill all of these needs by their standards. And that leaves them lacking. Because you cannot fill these kinds of needs by the world's standards and be happy. You ever known anybody that doesn't matter how much they have, they just got to have more? Well, see, that's the world's standards. Or if you ever seen anybody that worries all the time about when they're going to die, what's going to happen. See, that's all by the world's standards, because we don't have to worry about it. How do I know that? Jesus told me I don't have to worry about it. He's got it covered. And so we can trust our God, our God, the Father, because He knows that we need those things. Now, sometimes we worry, are fearful we feel like He may have just left us here to fend for ourselves. Can I tell you that He hadn't just left us here? He didn't just put us on the earth and leave us to fend for ourselves. That's the mindset of the world right now. The world believes that we got to take care of it ourselves, because God's not at work in my life. Well, the reason God's not at work in somebody's life is because they don't have the faith to believe that God is at work in their lives. I'm just going to give you a couple of little testimonies. We have a young woman in our church that she left her husband because he was beating her and beating her son. One day during a beating, she grabbed her purse and her son and left with nothing. Well, 3 years later, she had her master's degree from TCU, but she couldn't find a job. She was trying to find a job, couldn't find a job, didn't have a car. She bought an old broken down truck, and it was costing more to run than it was worth. And so she gave it away, and so she didn't have a car. So our church took up money to buy her a car. You know, and we did it all in about a week. And it was just really a neat thing, because on Easter Sunday morning, there was a car, a little Honda Accord, sitting out in the parking lot, and with a bow on top of it, and we walked her out to the parking lot and said, "May I meet your new car?" And of course, she just fell on the ground, weeping and sobbing. But here's my point. My wife and I sewed into that. I live on a retired teacher's salary, and the church, we don't ask the church to pay us much because we don't need to. But so we live on a fixed income. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And so we sewed into that. Do you know that very day, the church just decided to give us a gift of almost to the penny exactly what we sewed into that car? It just happens that way. God wants us to take the seed that He gives us and sow it, because there is a saying that says, well, I'll get to that in just a second. God didn't leave us here to fend for ourselves. God has chosen to give us the kingdom. Now, not only has God chosen to give you the kingdom, but along with the kingdom comes the power and authority in it. Do you know you have the power and authority over the realm of the demonic? God doesn't want you to be at the mercy of your enemies, of the enemy of Him. So He has given you authority, and He's given you power to rule and reign. It says it over and over and over in the Scriptures that we have been given authority. We've been given power. We have all of those things. We have His blessing. We have His provision. We have His plenty. All of those things have been given to us. Sometimes we don't use them. We can't understand all of this. Listen, none of this that we can understand with our physical minds. And there's one of my favorite passages is in Ephesians chapter 3, and it's not up here because it just came to my mind. But one of my favorite passages is in Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, and He wants to make known to you the length, the width, the breadth, and the height. That's four dimensions. All right? Four dimensions. Now, I want to tell you, I was a math teacher, okay? I taught geometry. I taught people how to draw in three dimensions. We live in a three-dimensional world. Our minds don't comprehend four dimensions. I can show you a picture of a fourth-dimensional drawing. Our minds can't get around a fourth dimension. So what God is saying is this, that He wants us to live our lives to a point of trust and faith in Him that cannot be explained, that cannot be understood, but it can only be received by faith. You see, He wants us to move beyond what we can understand, beyond what we can believe, what we can understand, and live in an attitude of faith in Him, because it can't be comprehended with our natural minds. What He wants to do cannot be comprehended with your natural mind. It's spiritual. It is beyond the dimension. I'll give you an example. You know, in the last 20, 30 years, well, since the creation of the universe, do you know that the universe, the size of our universe, is exploding exponentially? It's not just what we thought it was, but it is growing and continuing to explode. The statistic, I don't remember the exact statistic, but when the universe was first discovered, they said it would take something like 300 light years to go from one side of the universe to the other. 300 light years. And y'all know what a light year is. That's how far a light year is, how far light travels in a year. Well, light travels pretty fast. So 300 years from one side of the universe to the other. Today, they're saying that it is like 50,000 light years. Now, I don't know how they measure that, but I can tell you that scientists all agree that our universe is exploding. How do you understand that? I don't know. I can't explain it. I can't explain how a baby comes from two cells and is born and begins to breathe on its own. I can't explain that. God did it. It's beyond understanding. It is absolutely beyond anything that we can comprehend. So, in order to move into the spiritual, we have to see things in this way and walk in faith, because you can't figure it out. You ever known anybody that wouldn't give their life to the Lord because, oh, they just couldn't figure out how God could save, how God could forgive them of everything they've done? Well, no, you can't understand it. How does God take my sin and remove it with an eraser? It's gone. My sin is gone. He erased it. How do you explain that? You can't explain that. So we can't understand what God wants to do. And so we can never receive Him by understanding. But here's what we can do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. So my question to you is this. What do you need the Lord to do? Do you need the Lord to heal? Do you need some prosperity in your life? Could you use some more money? The truth is, listen to me. If you don't get anything out I've said this morning, hear what I've said. Hear what I'm about to say. The truth is, you don't need to do God to do anything more than He's already done. He has already done it. He said in two places in the Scripture that I know of, it is finished. It is done. So you don't have to ask Him to do that. Here's the key. May sound crazy. Some of you are thinking, but you hadn't seen my checking account. You hadn't seen my doctor's report. I don't need to. Regardless of what the natural facts are, the truth is that God has already given you everything that He's ever going to give. That sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? But it's the truth. It's already done, and it's ours to accept and receive by faith. 2 Peter 2, 1, 2, and 3. Look at what this passage says. This is quickly becoming my favorite passage in the Bible. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Anybody got anything going on that's not life and godliness? I hope not. Because life and godliness, everything that you need pertaining to your life and to your godliness has already been provided for you. It's done. It's already done. And whether or not we see a physical manifestation of this or not, what He's done in the spiritual realm is not dependent upon what, it is dependent on what we believe and what we act on, not what He's already done. Because He's already done. He's already done it. Let me show you a picture. What God has done in our lives is grace. All right? It's grace. There's no way to get around it. It's grace. So how in the world do we access His grace? The same way we access His grace for salvation, we use our faith to unlock that door into that room where the grace is. And we do the same thing with finances, with relationships, with health. We do the same thing in all of those areas. We use faith to unlock the key, to unlock the door where all of those grace things are stored. And what all is stored there? Everything pertaining to life and godliness. Healing has already been provided. Financial security has already been provided. Joy and peace, everything you're ever going to need has already been provided. And yet, the average Christian embraces, oh Lord, help me, I'm such a worm. Lord, help me, I'm in such need. No, what you need to be praying is this. I'll give you an example. 90% chance of rain on Saturday. 90%. Okay, where we're doing our food truck. That's not easy to do the food truck in the rain. So, you know what my wife and I are doing? We've chosen to pray and thank God for the rain waiting until the middle later in the day. Now, whether God does that or not, do you know it doesn't matter? You know, it really doesn't matter because that's not going to change my faith in the way that I pray. Thank you, Lord, for moving that rain later in the day. Thank you, Lord, for moving that rain later in the day. So you're saying, okay, you're telling me that I've already got all this stuff. Where is it then, God? You want to know where it is? Really simple. It's in His Spirit. It's in the Spirit. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So all of those things that He's already provided is in the Holy Spirit. How many people do we know that are saved and going to heaven, but these things, they've never experienced them because they've never embraced the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Now, fruit is something that's produced after we sow. The Bible teaches us that we reap what we sow. We reap after we sow, and we reap more than we sow. So if we sow faith, we're going to reap faith. So I encourage you to do that. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are in you. And some of you are saying, you don't know this guy sitting next to me. Well, can I tell you that my Bible says that they are in you? Why? Because those are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit lives in you, then those things are inside you. It's not optional. It's not up for debate. It's the truth. It's the Scripture. It's the Word of God that tells us that. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to move beyond your thinking, beyond our natural way of thinking, and move into a place where you're not going to think. You're just going to believe, receive, and act. Because if you believe what God has said and you receive what God has said, you're going to act on what God says. God bless you and have a wonderful time understanding that we can walk in faith that unlocks the door to everything that God has provided for us.